Good morning. I think it's off.
Mine's turned off.
Yeah, you're okay now.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to be here. And I mean that. I know everybody says that always. That's sort of a polite thing to say. A couple of weeks ago, I was at one of the assemblies, and I said publicly it wasn't nice to be there because someone in that assembly had passed away, and I know he was in a much better place than I was, but I'm telling you the truth that I wasn't feeling good about it because I love that person. I know he's with the Lord and he's in a wonderful place, but I was just feeling sorry for myself. But it's good to be here. It's good to see all of you here and out there in Zoom land. It's nice to see you too, and I believe God's going to bless us. You know, walking up here, I saw computer here, and I saw a computer here, and I have my iPad in my hand, and I see a computer in front of me, and I don't know how many Roy's got back there, one or two computers. What happened if the Wi-Fi went off? What happened if electricity went off? What happened if Facebook went down and Zoom went down? You know, last week we had a terrible, just about a disaster. Maybe some of you don't know, but Roger went down, and I personally couldn't use my Visa card. I couldn't get on the internet at home, and I was in a rough way. But, you know, isn't it wonderful that we can worship the Lord, and we don't need all these things? I mean, we use these things, and we thank God for them, because look, all of you out there in Zoom land there, you wouldn't be here if we didn't have all this technology. But wouldn't it be wonderful when we get to heaven, face to face, cara a cara, face to face with Jesus, and we won't need our iPads and our iPhones and our computers and all this. This morning we're going to have a great time, I believe, in the Word of God, and we're going to be looking at a passage. Because last time I was here, I talked about Romans chapter 12. It was on a weeknight meeting, and we told what Paul was saying to the church, the importance of the local church, the local assembly. And I mentioned how important it is that we are together as a family here at 16th. And even though I don't come here regularly, I have your phone book. And I do pray for many of you, over and over during the week. And I hope you pray for me. See, you need the practice. I need the prayers. But anyway, it's good to be here. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 16. So we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 16. And God is going to use this, I'm sure, to bless all of us. And it's a different type of a chapter. See, Paul had just finished writing the 16 chapters, and this is his last chapter. This is his last possibility to speak to the people in Rome and to speak to us too. So let's turn in our Bibles, and I'm going to ask our techies back there if we can share the screen. And I'm sure that he'll do that. He's excellent down there. If it wasn't for him, where would we be in this technology world? So here we are at 16th. And again, as I said, it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be part of the assembly. And congratulations, 75 years. Wow. I go to an assembly that's 67 years approximately. So this is wonderful to be able to be celebrating what God has done here in the 16th McDonald area. God is so gracious that he can even use us.
Amen.
Can use us. So what we're going to try to do now, I don't know if it's going to work, but as I said, we've got a good techie back there. Chapter 16 is such an important chapter. I have the tendency to skip over names because they're hard. I can say Mary or Barbara or Betty or George or Mary. I can say those words quite easy, but the many names in the Bible I have a hard time with, so I skip over them. So what I've been doing the last 10 years is going on the internet and having it read to me over and over and over. And I was going to practice reading this to you, but that would be criminal. That would be hard on your ears. So what I'm going to try to do, I want you to turn in your Bibles there and see, we're going to go through this here, and we're going to have it read to us. So you follow along in your scripture and see if we can get some of these names down. And I would encourage you to go home this afternoon and after your nap, Sunday nap, siesta, maybe open up the internet and have it read to you again. So we're going to try to see if this works. If it doesn't work, we'll carry on. But here we go. Might not work. We practiced beforehand, it worked. Today we'll just try again one more time.
Service to church.
We're going to get an echo. Okay, we're going to get an echo. I'm tuned on now.
New to your speakers.
There we go. Unmuted. Okay. So in this chapter, I'm wondering if somebody would like to read it to us. I'm brave, physically brave, but is there someone in the congregation that has the ability to read? Because this is the word of God. And should have asked somebody ahead of time as a backup. Is anybody? How about out there in Zoom land, maybe? Any, Harold? Somebody else in Zoom land? If not, we'll carry on.
I will try to read it to you. My voice is weaker. If I crack, you'll understand. Romans 16:1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Centria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodion, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, whose women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen of the Lord and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Cordus, send you greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much. It says in the word of God, we're not to lay hands on any man suddenly. I did leave it open, but sincerely thank you. I use the excuse that je parle français, je parle espagnol, and I took 2 or 3 years of Greek and Hebrew, so I use that as an excuse. But let's pray. Let's thank God for the word of God. Father, Heavenly Father, we get tears in our eyes because when we hear this read, we just think of what is in this chapter. We think of the riches, we think of the teaching, the exhortation. We thank you for chapter 16 of Romans, and we just pray by the working of the Holy Spirit here at 16 and in Zoomland that you will take the Holy Spirit's teaching to us and apply this to each of our lives, Lord. May this Sunday morning be different. May we get this the grip of this chapter, Lord, and what you're trying to tell the people in Rome. And we know this could be your last writings. We know this could be the last time that you write a letter. And we know that you're going to Rome. And so we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you work through me, work through the Holy Spirit through me, and that people will get a message from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, what a wonderful, wonderful chapter. What a wonderful chapter. Romans 16 is the final passage in Paul's long letter to the Christians in Rome. It contains 4 sections. And after I put the 4 sections up, I encourage you to take out your phone and shoot a picture of it so you can go home and go through those 4 different sections. Now, the first section is his greetings to specific people in Rome. We're going to talk about that. That's the first section here in chapter 16. Then it's a quick and urgent warning about danger of false teaching. We're going to talk about that because they're all around us. It's a dangerous world out there spiritually. There's a lot of people teaching wrong doctrine. But let's carry on because greetings for those who were with him in Corinth. And then the final, and take a picture if you like, a final hymn of praise to God called a doxology. And that's very interesting because we're going to be talking about the doxology. We know one particular doxology that we use quite often in our preaching and our teaching and in our reading and studying and meditation. But this is an interesting doxology, verses 25, 26, and 27, which we're going to spend most of our time on. So let's look at it. His greetings to specific people in Rome, chapter 16, verses 1 to 16. Though Paul had never yet been to Rome at any time before this writing, but he knew many of the believers personally and because of their reputation. So he was aware of the people in Rome. He begins his greetings by commanding the lady who will deliver this letter to them. Phoebe is a servant, a deacon of the church of Caesarea, a town not far from Corinth. So ladies, this is to you. There's lots of work to be done because this letter is full of ladies serving the Lord. And a lot of times ladies say to me, but Ron, you know, it's a men's world and in the church, the women can't do this and can't do that. There is so much you can do at 16. There is so much activity going on and they need your help. And Paul here writes all these names of these different women, even though I can't say them all. I can say Mary, because Mary was one of the servants. Paul mentioned Priscilla and Aquila. Now, that's very interesting. You can see their names here. He mentions them because, see, they were with him, and he used to make tents. I'm a printer by trade. And years ago, when I, before the government took over helping me financially as a, I'm 77, even though I look 57. I know you don't have to keep saying that. But you know, at 77, I get a check every month. And I thank God for that. But before that, sometimes I would go back to my printing or my photography profession to earn money. Paul did this also. Paul went back sometimes and he made tents so he wouldn't be a burden on the local church. And Priscilla and Aquila, they were a married couple. They would help Paul make a tent as well as in the ministry. So all of you that are working 8 to 5, you can serve the Lord just like Priscilla and Aquila. And I admire people like you who do help. In cleaning, you know, I came down the side of the chapel today. You know, there wasn't one leaf out of place. There wasn't one piece of dirt or package of gum or chiclets or anything on the thing. I don't know who cleaned it up. I see these plants, and they certainly look healthy. Yes, they're real plants. They're not plastics. And that earth was wet. So somebody wanted them, praise God. So ladies, don't ever think there's not work to be done. I mean, the people who play the piano and the organ, it's such beautiful ministry to serve the Lord. People who make the tea and the coffees and the biscuits and the cookies and all that. So ladies, I encourage you to carry on for Jesus, because this chapter tells us that Paul was very appreciative of them. So this first portion of the scripture, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, is to do with his relationship with these people. And you know, it's very interesting to see that he wasn't a lone ranger. Now, how many of you here know who the lone ranger was? One, two, three, four, five. That's all. Well, the Lone Ranger was a cowboy. And he had a friend, Tonto. Hi, old Silver. Remember that one? Yes. I've got a couple of noddings here. I mean, that's when I was a kid, and it was sort of the thing. He was a good cowboy, and he was a good fella. But he was always the Lone Ranger. He worked by himself. He had Tonto argue with them sometimes. But you know, in the Christian service, as we can see here from this chapter, which could encourage us, it's a team ministry. It's working together, as I said that last time I was here in chapter 12. It's the community here at 16, working together, striving together, playing together. You're going to be celebrating together. Invite your friends. It would be wonderful to see this chapel completely packed out and people even upstairs in those rooms. And there's somebody up there in the children's room there. Hi, how are you? Yes, you can hear me too. Yeah. Yeah. And wouldn't it be wonderful if that was all full?
Amen.
Oh, I got an amen. Wow. Anyway, let's carry on then. This is encouraging. Then the second part is in chapter 16, verses 17 to 20. Now, this is very important. Before signing off, Paul seems compelled to offer a quick warning about false teachings who might show up amongst the Christians in Rome. Thank God here at 16, there are none, because you have good people watching over the sheep. You've got good pastors with an S, not just one man, but you've got pastors. But these men get in, and women get into the church little by little, and they sort of, I'm thinking of the word in Spanish, I'll get it in English, they plant seeds of doubt, they plant seeds of false doctrine. And Paul here is saying to the church in Rome, awful, be careful. But I like to warn you about some other false too. I'm not going to name any names, but they're starting to knock on the door now. Yes, yes, they're knocking on the door. And you look on Facebook also, so you get their Bible. I won't mention the Bible. You get their Bible free of charge. It's all over Facebook. And you see those two lovely young men walking down the street with a white shirt and tie on and a little badge on saying Elder so-and-so. We have to be careful. And when they come to your door, be careful. When they come to my door, I give them the evangelical Bible-believing fundamental tract. And I can't say God bless you, but I say I'll be praying for you. So beware of false teaching. And if there's something you're not sure of, ask the elders of this assembly. Ask them. Don't be shy. Say to them, look at this guy is telling me about this. What do you think about this biblically? I do that often myself. Sometimes it's so close to the truth that we accept it. And I would encourage you to beware of false teaching and false doctrine. Don't let it creep into your home, into your life. And Paul is saying that here. Paul tells the readers both to look out for them and to avoid them like the plague. Are you with me? So important, so important. Then the next section, Paul sends greetings for those who are with him in Corinth. See, he writes this from Corinth to the Romans, the Roman church, and includes a longtime partner student in ministry, Timothy. And that tells me something else that I think I'd like to share with you. Try to mentor somebody. Try to encourage somebody your own age and your own sex. Try to teach them. Try to go alongside of them. And I see Paul mentoring Timothy. And the other six mentioned here seldom show up in other scriptures and other passages, but they are friends of Paul. Paul seems to have always worked, as I said, in Corinth and in Rome, in all the places, in a team. It's a team effort. And then the last section is what we're going to spend most of our time on, is the doxology. The doxology. The final hymn of praise to God. It's called a doxology. The one we know is praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above you heavenly hosts. Praise the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the one, amen. That's the one we know quite well. But this also is a doxology, and it's the only doxology that we find Paul uses. A doxology is a word derived from the Greek word doxa, which is glory, and logos, which is word. So this, what we're going to study, is so important. It's, you know, when a person's dying, unfortunately, as a chaplain at the hospitals, I'm getting back into the hospitals after just about 2.5 years of not going to the hospital. I'm a chaplain, certified chaplain in the hospital. I sometimes sit beside the beds of dear people who are passing on. It's not pleasant. But you know something? The last words they say are so important. And it's just wonderful to see how many Christians are sat beside. And you know what they're doing when they're passing on, dying? They're praising God.
Amen.
Praising God. Can you imagine? I think of one dear old lady, 104 years old, all she could do was say, "Pastor, can we go to church now? I want to go worship Jesus." And poof, she was gone. Can you imagine? So these last words that Paul writes here are so important. And the first words of Paul's magnificent letter about God's grace and forgiveness for all of us, it tells us the importance of having our faith in Jesus. And now he praises him and he praises the Father. Praise the Father. And that's what we did earlier this morning. Wasn't it wonderful? Did you enjoy it? Or somebody might say, "Well, you're not supposed to." I enjoyed it. People say to me, "But Ron, what is that worship service you go to?" I say, "It's a time we worship Jesus." Or, "How many are in the choir?" No one in the choir. Well, they say, "Well, how about the orchestra? Was there violins and was there a piano?" And no. "Oh, must be a gorgeous place." Now, I'm not saying this isn't a gorgeous place, dear deacons. Don't get after me. But I mean, this is very common. And there's no stained glass windows or pipe organs or anything. But wasn't it wonderful? Wasn't it a time? I've been doing it for 65 years. Sorry, 67 years. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old up at Amarillo Bible Camp. And I've been doing it since, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And this is what Paul finishes his letter off. Now let's look at it. Let me read it again in another translation. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden from long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the commandment of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith to the only wise God, be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." Wow. What a what is going on here? Paul trying to get across? Well, here the apostle solemnly closes his epistle with a magnificent ascription of glory to the blessed God, as one that terminates all in praise and glory to God, and studied to return all to him. Paul was giving everything back to God. He knew that this could be it. He knew that maybe when he got to Rome, his head could be cut off. He knew that he wasn't going to have a picnic. And he knew that there could be the last chance he had to write something. And he chose to praise God. He chose to thank God. He chose alabanza, we say in Spanish. It was just wonderful when you read this over and over and over. And God wants us to feel the same way about him and his son. And isn't it wonderful that we can feel that way? So, Rome. This was written from Corinth to Rome. Are you with me? We're going to travel to Rome. We're going to look at Rome for a few minutes. I've been to Rome. I'm sure many of you have been to Rome. But Rome was a very interesting place. It was the political. It was the religious. It was the social, it was the economical center. It was a cosmopolitan mixture of Jews, of Gentiles, of slaves. It was full of free people, men, women, children. And this was a place where Paul was writing this letter to. It was the center of the universe, in a sense. It was, I used to say, all roads lead to Rome. And when I read this, I said, oh, Lord, you've got us here in Vancouver. How many people are coming to Vancouver? You know, I ride my bike a lot. Did 35 on Friday and 40 on Wednesday or something like that. But I had a great time. But you know what my greatest pleasure was? Going down by Stanley Park to by the where the boats come in. There was two boats in there, hundreds of tourists. And I just thought, oh Lord, may we get them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. And we are in the center, and we have in this auditorium how many different languages, praise God. Nobody Portuguese, maybe you speak Portuguese, or you speak Korean, Mandarin, Cantonese, Taiwanese, but use your languages for Jesus. If I wish I could speak them all. I go up to people today and I go, oh, yeah, yeah, como está usted? And they look at me and say, como sabe? That I'm Latin. I said, well, you have a beautiful pinta, a nice complexion like a Latin. My wife walks away many times from many times, people from another country, but it opens up the door. I'll say, ma budipo. I'll say that, or I'll say to them, ni hao, ni hao, ma. Oh, anything just to get their attention. And but you can do it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, here in the chapel and in Zoomland, use your talent for Jesus. You've got so many beautiful tracts back there. You've got pamphlets back there. Take them, clean them, clean off those shelves. Make the deacons buy and get some more. It's so important. That's why I stand on the corner of the train station. You might have seen me sometime in the SkyTrain station, and I give out Gospels of John or the New Testament. I'll stand there and say, God bless you. God bless you. God. Sometimes people tell me where to go or how to get there and the quickest way possible. But I say, I'm not going there. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. And I said, that's why I'm here. So you don't have to go to hell. And that's our job, your job and my job. I'm not an elegant. I couldn't go to the University of British Columbia and stand in front of all of those people there and give a dissertation. I don't have the vocabulary of English or the ability, but I'm certain to give somebody a tract. So let's be like Paul and let's go to Rome, well, which is our Vancouver, and try to tell people about the Lord Jesus. You know, world travelers all pass by Rome. And Paul uses this opportunity to tell them about the glory of God. Now, let's read it again. Now, to him who is able to establish you, we're going to talk about that, in accordance with my gospel. I was wondering what he was meaning there. My gospel is not my gospel, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's a reason for that. The message I proclaim about Jesus, he was proclaiming about Jesus. It wasn't really about Paul, it was all about Jesus. To keep with the revelation of the mystery. What's the mystery hidden for long ages past? But now we feel, whoo, there's a mystery revealed. This is going to be exciting and made known to the prophets writing by the commandment of the eternal God, not just God, but the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles, what is he talking about, might come to the obedience and to come from faith to the only wise God, be glory forever to Jesus Christ. Amen. All this, we are going to enjoy looking at this. We are going to be blessed. We are going to be less. The mystery, what is he talking about? Mystery. A definition of a mystery, a scriptural mystery, something unknown in times past, revealed in the New Testament. So it's not something like something hidden. It's just a mystery that wasn't revealed yet. But here in this chapter in Romans, it's revealed. And we're going to see that mystery that's revealed. And it's the most exciting thing that can happen to especially people like me that have been to 75 countries and realize that the mystery is for everybody, for God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it doesn't matter where you come from, but we know where you can go. Let me repeat that. I might not know where you're coming from, where you were born, but I can tell you where you can go. And that's to heaven if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Oh, this is so exciting. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, 2. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that has given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. What is a mystery? Oh, we're going to talk about that mystery, that's for sure. Now, to him who is able to, he's able to establish us. What does it mean? That means he can strengthen us. He can encourage us. He can make us stable, stability, a steadfastness. We can have all those things in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be just wishy-washy vegetables. We can be solid. We can be established if we accept Jesus as our guide, as our Savior, as our leader, as our master, as our pastor, as our shepherd. He gives us a stability. It says it right here. Now, to him who is able to establish you. Isn't it wonderful that we have that possibility? I mean, this world is, there's a lot of problems out there. I mean, all these shootings and robberies and killings and wars and war. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that we can be established? The word established, stability, not just here one day, there another day here, but we can get solid. Sure, we have our problems, but there's someone to help us through our problems. He will strengthen us according to my gospel, according to the gospel which I preach. It wasn't necessarily Paul's gospel, but it was to preach. It's my gospel too. The gospel that I preach is my gospel in the sense that it's the gospel that Jesus Christ gave to me to share it with you. And that's what we're all to do, according to my gospel, according to the gospel which I preach, the doctrine which I have been defending in this epistle. He's defending all chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to chapters 15. He talks about all the wonderful things in the Word of God, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And he's sharing his last wishes to them, to him who is able to establish me, to him, to God, be glory. Romans 16, 20 says that. To establish you, to strengthen, to confirm you. My gospel, the doctrine of justification, of election, of perseverance. This is the gospel of Paul. This is the gospel that he's preaching to them. And of the protection and favor of God to both Jews and Gentiles. We're going to get into that. That is so exciting. It's all inclusive. Everyone is important. In the eyes of God. And that is something that is so important. And now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the commandment of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith, to make plain, now is manifested, it's unfolded. That means all Gentiles. See, before we talked about that it was for the Jews. Now it's for all of us. We are Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. Sure, I'm a Canadian, born, raised in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. But I'm also, I'm not a Jewish person. But I am part of the family of God because it's made known biblically now that everybody's inclusive. And that's what we can tell people. How many people I've talked to in Africa or China or Japan? How many people I've talked to say, oh, well, that's a North American religion? garbage. It is not a North American religion. It's for whosoever will. And we can tell people in the streets of beautiful Vancouver that come here from all over the world. The other day, people were making cement to make sidewalks. And I went up to them and I knew who they were. And I said, oh, they take that como ustedes de mi queridos amigos, Mexicanos, they're Mexicans. And I told them that I'd been to Mexico, and I told them why I went to Mexico. I went to Mexico to teach the Mexicans in a Bible school how to evangelize. And I said, do you know Jesus? Well, yeah, you know, I'm of this persuasion. I said, well, it doesn't matter what persuasion. What do you think of Jesus? And that's what we're to tell people and to encourage people to do. The mystery. It was a mystery. But now it's made known to the world, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and doctrine. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mysteries of Christ. This is it. We have the Word of God. We have it. We've got to read it. We've got to study it. And we've got to try to practice it. You know, as Mondays, many times people say to me, but Ron, what did you do on the weekend? Oh, I was preaching at, let's say, Cascade Gospel Chapel. Oh, you're a preacher. Yeah, okay, bye. No, wait, come in. I said, you know, it's much easier to preach it than to practice it. And the wall falls down because I'm being transparent. I'm being true. I'm being open. And that's what we have to be to people, to be ourselves and tell them it's not easy, the Christian life, but we have somebody with us to help us. So if you're not a Christian and you're here this morning or you're out there in Zoom land, accept Jesus. He'll establish you. He'll help you. He'll comfort you. So important. But reveal it and make known. It's for all nations, every one of us. To God be only wise, be glory to Jesus Christ forever. Amen. It's through Jesus Christ. We can get to the Father through the Son. There ain't any other way. It says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that's what we are to share. Now, closing, there are various ways that we might give God glory. One is through our worship, like we did this morning. And another one, living a Christ-like life. We are created to be like Christ. We are working towards becoming like Christ. We are linked together. We should live like Christ. Christ is our model. Now, I had a song here. We won't be able to hear it, I don't think. But my granddaughters did this for you. They made it up. They took chapter 16, verses 25, 26, and 27, teenagers, then Berkeley, Boston, right now, at a school of music, perfecting themselves so they can be more effective in the ministry, just teenagers. And you can look at the words, so I think, even though we might not be able to see the words. I guess we can. See if we'll try. Just look at the words, that we can do that. Notice it's blurry. I'm a photographer. Thank you. We'll listen to it after. During the break, if you want to listen to it, we'll listen to it when we're not on Zoom, okay? Let's just close in a word of prayer, but we'll look at it after. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this chapter 16 of Romans. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that the mystery has been known to each and every one of us. And as we go downstairs to have a fellowship time, may we enjoy sweet communion one with the other, because we are one in Christ Jesus because of what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. Use this message for your honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.